No, I'm back at my office.
Oh, okay. They told us it might be the White House. We were so
excited.
Yeah,
I was supposed to be there, and then I got stuck.
Oh, well, we just wanted the excitement of talking to someone from the White House, so...
Oh, I'm sorry.
So what happened today? What was the... Tell us... Now, there are... Well, I don't know if anybody knows this, but there are briefings that are sort of more informal before the formal briefing. Is that it? Before the ones televised?
Yes, it's called a gaggle. It's about 15 minutes in the early morning, about 9:30 or 9:45, and then a regular briefing at 12:30, but they're having one at 2 o'clock. It's almost ongoing right now, and... It was postponed because there was a joint alleged news conference, I wouldn't call it that, in the Rose Garden with President Bush and Tony Blair, the British Prime Minister.
Now, why wouldn't you call that a news conference?
Because the President cut, I'll give you one question, and if the reporter tries to follow up on an obviously obtuse answer, he's cut some off at the pass, I mean, and they limit each side, American side and British side, to three questions each. And, you know, it's a dog and pony show, and it's ridiculous, and I could never honor it by calling it a press conference.
Now, what would be the chances of the president giving an obtuse answer?
100%. And what amazed me, though, what really amazed me is the incredibly eloquent Tony Blair almost became speechless. Not in a sense, you know, but he was filibustering. He adopted all of Bush's, you know, non-answers and so forth. He was asked, why did you mislead us on the weapons of mass destruction threat and so forth? He bumbled along. I had never thought a British statesman would be without words and speechless.
Is there...
He wasn't speechless. He kept talking in a desperate way. It was scary. I mean, I felt sorry for him.
It was reminiscent of the president's press conference.
Yeah, ramble on. Keep talking.
Is there any pressure, do you think, on a Tony Blair who is...
I'm surprised he's still... the leader of his country. He should have fallen a long time ago. 45-minute threat, imminent threat to his country and to the world. What kind of stuff is that? I mean, really. In the 50s, he would have fallen in 5 minutes.
Is there any pressure on someone like Tony Blair when he's with the president to ratchet down his level of eloquence?
I don't think so. I think he got stuck. How do you explain a lie, really?
We made a mistake. Our intelligence was...
You know, something about these two born-again statesmen, they don't ever say, I'm sorry.
Well, did you know, we heard today that they actually did polling on whether, the White House did polling on whether the president should admit a mistake.
Uh-huh.
And did focus grouping on it.
Uh-huh.
And that was after the president said at the press conference, I don't make decisions on polls.
Right.
Well, what would you have asked at the press conference? Now, you've kind of, because you've lost your your seat there. You were at UPI for so many years and were always given the honor of asking the president the first question. Mm-hmm. This president doesn't like you, does he?
No.
and why would that be, Helen?
No president ever liked me. Why should they like me? I don't care. I want them to respect me, but it doesn't matter whether we didn't go into this business to be loved.
Yeah, but I think this particular president really, really doesn't like you.
Well, probably not, and that's okay with me.
What would you have asked at the press conference?
Well, I would ask him because we knew the Sharon plan was coming. How can you give what doesn't belong to you? And I would ask Sharon, how can you take what doesn't belong to you?
You're talking about the...
I'm talking about Palestinian land.
You're talking about the settlements, which are...
Right. They went in, they built them, you know, they've always been illegal, and all of a sudden it's the facts on the ground.
Well, I
admit they are the facts on the ground, but at the same time, you really cannot negotiate your home and you can't give it away, and it wasn't theirs to give.
What did you think of the president's answers Tuesday night?
Answer?
Mm-hmm.
No, answers.
Answers.
His performance.
I thought that he just rolled over for Sharon, and Sharon went home and told the Israeli press that they had ended the Palestinian dream and dealt a lethal blow to it. Of course, the Bush keeps talking about roadmap and all this, but what's left to negotiate? What's, 50% of Palestine that they have taken? And he's endorsed it. And what is the U.S. endorsement? It's everything. It's money. It's diplomatic support. It's the world.
But at least the timing was good. I mean, at a point when we have the Arab world behind us, at least the timing.
You're trying. What do you mean behind you?
I was being ironic.
Way far, 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 and they're not even behind you in Iraq. Are you kidding?
Yes, I was kidding.
Okay. I mean, the whole point is that...
I've heard you kid a lot, Helen, so I was kidding.
You can't convert by the sword. You can spread democracy, you bet, and I hope it will be. But we did it, in the Cold War. We jumped over the wall, the Berlin Wall, with blue jeans, jazz, the Pope, Voice of America, exchange students, the things that the cultural thing without killing people.
It was the Beatles.
I think it was the Beatles.
It was the Beatles. Helen Thomas, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
I can't wait to talk to you again, and I hope I see you down there.
Thank you.
Soon. Thank you, Helen.
Helen Thomas joining us from Washington, D.C. She has a column for Hearst Newspapers. We're going to go to your calls now. Of course, it's 1-866-303-2270. And let's...